You are listening to the Cigar Noise Boys.
You may very well be well-bred, lots of etiquette in your head, but there's always some special case, time or place, to forget etiquette.
Is that a poem or a song?
The song.
I don't know.
Never smile at a crocodile, baby.
It is. Happy Pirate Month.
You look the pirate song.
Ahoy, boys. Happy Pirate Month.
It's halfway over already.
It's not. It's getting there. I know. We missed a few episodes.
Happy belated birthday, you got back to Dom.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
34 now.
31.
Well, you look like you're 41.
Why are you trying to? I shaved. I'm like clean shaven. I look young.
You still got some white stuff on the side here.
Oh, like
the
mustache. You got, I don't know. You got some like middle school acne going on.
I know. So, don't look at the acne. Look at the mustache, fucker.
Okay. Cigar Noise Boys.
I have one.
Back podcasting. Hey, Sons of Smoke podcasted again. Sorry, they podcast again. Ooh. Past tense, podcast, not podcasted. That was cool.
Yeah. It was good to hear the boys back on the airwaves.
Real
everybody's
quick,
having kids now.
Wanna shout out our sponsor.
El Dandy Cubano would like to remind you that real men love to have Moe's patina in their mouth. Be a real man, smoke patina.
How was that for an ad read? Happy Pirate Month.
That was dope.
Thanks, El Dandy.
That was beautiful. Thank you, El Dandy. The goat.
I actually swung by his shop today and grabbed me a patina Oro de Nicaragua Lancero.
Ooh.
Did they have the other sizes or just Lancero?
They just had Lancero. I would have picked up more of the other sizes too, but. But yeah, it's making this Herful pretty happy right now.
Nice.
Oh, you're smoking it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Live.
So way to bury the lead.
Mo said that it was very strong. The Lancero specifically. Are you saying medium, medium plus, plus, or full strength? What are you feeling?
Medium plus.
Okay.
For me. On the Lancero size. But okay. I just started it, so I don't know. That might be the one puff preview.
Where are you smoking at?
I'm in my car. I was in my backyard, and then my six-year-old daughter like kept coming up and like talking to me. And so I'm like, all right, Daddy's going to go hide in his car.
What do you think about cigar reviewers putting where they smoke the cigar for the review?
I feel like that's important context sometimes. Mm-hmm. It could be.
I agree, but also when I see it, it feels pretentious.
Yeah.
Like, I smoked this in 68-degree weather on my back porch.
I don't see anything about that being pretentious. Now, if it said something like, I was smoking at the Taj Mahal or the 16th Chapel or some fancy place, like, yeah, but if you're saying you're inside, you know, that's the thing. Like, me and Mukau would always debate because he would do his reviews outside and I'm like, I don't think you can get an accurate
reading
of a cigar. I mean I get it being inside and if there's 20 other mofos smoking, that's not the good ideal environment either, but I'm not an outside smoker. It feels so different to me. I'm a lounge smoker or truck or vehicle, you know. Call me a weirdo.
So this is kind of a long-winded story, but I recently threw my iPhone in the toilet.
Had to go get
a new one, and took a while, and ended up doing a demo of the Apple Vision Pro while I was in there.
Oh,
and like the idea of smoking a cigar on the beach is cool until you have like sand coming into your mouth constantly.
It gets everywhere.
Is just like the lounge experience with that like solo mode nobody can talk to you, relaxation, beach pulled up. Sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, that sounds pretty dope.
The Lounge Experience podcast, not a sponsor.
The Lounge Experience. How much are those? $4,000?
Yeah, after tax, I think they're like $3,800.
Are you?
Yeah. I will not be purchasing one.
You'll be purchasing two. One for you, one for Kelly. What are your days off now, Brandon?
Sunday, Monday. But one of the things I didn't know about that stupid Apple Vision Pro is each one is like fitted to your face, and you have to buy a special attachment to like make it fit to your face properly. And each additional attachment's like $200. So you can't just like buy one and share it with your family. You have to buy one and buy the thing that fits it to your face for each person that's going to wear it.
They thought of it all.
Yeah, they know how to make money, I guess.
One size fits you.
But yeah.
Was it weird masturbating in an Apple store?
It was actually, it felt very, like, it felt right.
Natural? The thrill? Was there a thrill to it?
Yeah.
I got a story. I don't know if I should tell or not. I guess I had to give a sample of my swimmers. And it's a bizarre experience. And so you have 30 minutes after you finished to turn the cup into the doctor. The problem is I live 20 minutes away from the doctor. So I have to do the deed at the hospital in a room and in a bathroom. And it's uncomfortable. I mean, it's like, and they told me I could take it home, but I'm like, I read the instruction that said it's got to be back within 30 minutes, you know? So I'm in the bathroom.
I don't want to get personal here, but are you vaxxed or unvaxxed?
I'm vaxxed.
Okay. So your stuff's not worth much. It's fine.
Okay.
Apparently, they pay top dollar for they pay top dollar for that unvaxxed seed.
Well,
that unvaxxed milk.
What about the parking lot? Was that
baby batter? Well, it's an option, but then you might be arrested. But anyways, dude. So you have, man, you have your phone. You got your phone, toilet seat, and that's it. I mean, it's not conducive for cranking one out.
Do you still pull up the private browser, or does it feel like you're like, I'm good on this one, I could let this one be in my regular search history?
Well, yeah, I mean, you just edit your search and then throw in a couple ghost browsers. You know, you type in half wheel, small batch, you know, kind of get the ESPN. You kind of have three generic browsers open at any time, but fuck. So it's just not a good conducive to crank one out. But after a while, and I didn't have my headphones, so it's volume off, and the volume really adds something to it. After a while, the nurse knocks on the door, and she's like, "Hey, Tyler, you can take that home with you if you want, you know." And I had just like filled the cup up like 2 minutes earlier. I'm like, no, I'm good, I'm done, you know. And then
how big is the cup?
Yeah. It's like a gallon. Need to answer that. I'm just saying it's a weird thing, and got some next time here. I'm gonna rent a hotel room near the hospital so I can get comfortable. But I had to give a sample of me to the doctor. This was in Milwaukee. Also in Milwaukee, I got food poisoning, and it fucking sucked. I got food poisoning Sunday, the day before I left. I went out for brunch with my mom and Elisa, and we were meeting Alex, friend of the podcast, and his wife, Kristen, at a steakhouse at like 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock or some shit. So we had the smallest, tiniest brunch. We shared a little plate. And then, like, immediately my gut felt like I ate a Thanksgiving meal. Like, it was sitting heavy. And I had, like, 1.5 pancakes and a couple of pieces of, like, hash brown. And we both barely ate because we had that steak dinner. And it's just sitting heavy all day. We go to the dinner. I'm in and out of the bathroom. We're at this nice steakhouse. I'm in and out of the bathroom. Lisa's got, I'm a zombie mode at this point. I'm shivering. I'm cold. I'm not talking. And then we get back to my apartment. My flight left at 5 a.m. the next day. So we had to get up at, it left at 5:45. We had to get up at 3 a.m. We had to be at the airport by 4 a.m. Or we had to leave for the airport at 4 a.m. I try going to bed. I'm so cold. I can't fall asleep. I finally fall asleep. I wake up and I puke, go back to bed, wake up, puke. And then I'm like, well, I'm not, you know, I just, you know, I'm not going back to bed. Before we left, I puked again. And then we went to Denver and went Milwaukee, Denver, Denver, Austin, Denver. Right, we're about to land. I puke and I shart on the plane. Luckily, I had spare underwear and spare pants, and cleaned up in the. And then not only that, I had to go to the bathroom in Denver, and there are no stalls open. There was a 10-minute wait to get to the stall. After I'm done cleaning up and everything, and I throw away my pantalones and underwear, bar boxers. I had a puke bag on me too. I threw all that shit away. After that, I went and got a Gatorade, and then I laid down, and then I lost my wallet. I lost my wallet in Denver, so I didn't have my wallet for 3 days or 4 days. They found it in Denver and then shipped it back to me. But it was hell, man. It was hell. Food poisoning is the worst, especially when you're flying and traveling. And my mom's like, you want me to switch your flight to the next day or a later flight? I'm like, no, I just got to thug it out. And it sucked, man. It sucked. I hate food poisoning.
So to summarize your trip, about it? Your trip to Milwaukee, you tugged it out and then thugged it out.
Tug. Yeah, it's been a weird time. Really weird time. So Dom, you're back to work now.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. That was very brave of you.
No, I mean, people, sharts happen and food poisoning happens, and
I'm still talking about the man milk, but yeah.
Oh, that part? I mean, well, it's for medical reasons why I had to crank one out, but so yeah.
Yeah, I'm back at work. Not back at the lounge. So talked to the manager. I worked one shift, and he said it'd be fine if I just still operate as a filler. So if somebody needs a shift filled, I can fill that gap. And then summer, once that hits, I won't be working teaching, so I can pick up some shifts again.
Okay.
That's the plan. So still no cigar money, but that's okay. Because I don't have time to smoke cigars.
I had a no call, no show at Habana House. I work one day a week there, and I had the Milwaukee trip, and then I have Vegas coming up, and it was a change of the month. So I worked, I worked March 1st. It was a Friday. So I'm like, oh, that's my one day that week. Well, they scheduled me on Wednesday, the 29th or something. No, 30th, 28th February. And then Jim calls me and he's like, hey, you're forgetting something. I'm like, what? He's like, you work tonight. I'm like, fuck. So I haul ass all the way to, and I work, and I felt horrible. But it was just like, you know, it was just a lot of stuff went wrong. I was still recovering from the food poisoning, so I wasn't thinking. And also, it was a new month, and it was I had two shifts that week, which I don't do two shifts in a week, but because of the month and whatever, it just worked out where I had two shifts in 1 week. So yeah, I felt bad, but yeah, it happens, you know. And but yeah, that's been going good. I actually really, really like it. I love cleaning I love organizing. I love talking about cigars and it's kind of cool. Like, man, you just talk to people and they tip you good money. One guy tipped me like $8. I just told him about some cigars he had bought. He bought the Stillwell from Saka. And I'm just telling him about it. And I look and he tipped me $8. Now, I don't know how the tips are figured out. I don't know if you're working that shift, if you get all the tips, or if they, all the tips for the whole month, they split it out by how many hours you work. I don't know. But I haven't gotten that I get that check. We got paid last week. I haven't been to the shop since. I work on St. Paddy's Day on Sunday, the next shift. But it's pretty cool. I mean, people are generous, you know. And then I see that we got Habana House is getting the Cro-Magnon timeline, so I got to snag a bundle there. But yeah, it's going well. It's weird not being able to like order shit and stuff, but I'm fine. You know, I don't want to order anything. I just want to do my shift and talk to people and smoke new stuff. That's what I miss about not working the shop is smoking the new stuff. Like I'm always jealous when I see Brandon smoking the latest and greatest, you know, and then I'm, you know, it's weird that I'm still like that. What's new phase of my life, but it's just exciting. But I'm really digging it. And Jim, I like Jim a lot. I think this is a good learning opportunity. They're opening up a third shop. And so I might be working there. I don't know which one I'm working at, but that's even farther. So I don't think so. I'm working at the one right by Roma Craft. But they got a good team there. And I've been selling a lot of Roma Crafts. So I like it.
The new Cro-Magnon. First of all, for you and Brandon, you've heard people say Cro-Magnon, yes?
Yeah, I've heard people say that.
I probably have said it too. Yeah. I had to look it up in the dictionary to see which way was correct. Uh-huh. Cro-Magnon is correct. Cro-Magnon is like an American mispronunciation that's caught on. But there's an alternate third pronunciation. Do you know what it is?
No.
It's
Cro-Magnon.
No. Because it's French, the G falls off. It's Cro-Magnon.
Mm.
Yeah.
Curmudgeon.
Cro-Magnon. Man.
Yeah, I haven't. So one of the guys, there's a group chat at the Habana House. And one of the guys is like, hey, Tyler, did you smoke the new timeline? And I haven't. I smoked it in May of last year, humble brag. No, I'm just kidding. And I smoked, Skip had two blends, and we all, me, Alex, and Skip, we smoked both of them kind of together and see which one we like better. And then I've been smoking, I've had some of like the Knuckle Dragger, Cro-Mag, but yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I got to get the Habana House right when I get back and make sure I secure a bundle. It's still weird because I don't feel comfortable like saying, hey, guys, can you put a bundle aside for me? But I'll buy it when I get in there next. But like I have two of the My Father Tatuaje on hold. I already bought one of each and I put one of each on hold. Dude, the shipping on those were crazy. The Habana House, Jim was saying it was like almost $400, $360 to ship. I think they got five boxes or something like that.
Wait,
shipping is crazy, man.
Is the shipping the weight why it's $60 a cigar? Or is it that way before you have to deal with shipping?
No. That's what made the cigar $65 was the shipping. They put $5 each on each cigar.
That's crazy.
But you know, California would be $90, $80, whatever it is.
Yeah, pass.
Brandon, have you smoked them yet?
I had one puff of the one that Tat made for my father, the lighter one. Actually, I had like three puffs off of one that somebody was smoking.
Who did you puff on?
My buddy Austin. He bought a whole box, and then he bought a single of that one. But he doesn't smoke cigars. He just like likes to have them collected in sealed boxes for like some stupid reason.
I used to be like that.
But he
on this economy.
He lit it up. He was smoking it. According to everyone on the internet, that's the better one.
The one that Pete did?
Yeah. But I didn't find a lot to be enthused about, personally.
So let me get this straight. So Jaime and Papine did one for Pete, and then Pete did one for them?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So, and then there's another release where they do it for each other again?
Yeah, that the black box, I think, is the one that's been released. And then the red box is supposed to come in like 5 or 6 months, something like that.
Okay. How was the PCA? I like that it's a round one.
Have you smoked it yet?
No, but I think we got a Bannerhoff does have them, so I will be securing a box. It's going to be expensive month cigars, man.
Yeah.
Because I want to buy a box of Valencia and a box of Wise Man Maduro. I want to buy a box of each, you know. And what I'm really happy about was thinking about it like that. Nick gave me the box of the original run in 2015. That he gave me that box and signed it and everything. Like, and he knew that he was switching factories and shit. So that was cool that he gifted me that. So that means a lot. Yeah. I haven't smoked one yet. I almost did, but no, I'm never going to smoke one. But dude, that was huge news, man. And not only like is it huge that he's switching to Papine, because they don't make I mean, they do like a couple things for Crown Heads, and then they do, you know, La Roma and San Cristobal. I like to say Cristobal. I don't like saying Crystal Ball. San Cristobal, and then you know, they did some stuff for Nestor, Miranda, and Espinoza back in the day. But this is I think it's gonna be huge. I'm really interested in to see like a tobacco guy blend a cigar with Papine's tobacco. That's what I'm really excited about. I don't know, what do you guys
think? Which one are you more excited about, the Corojo or the San Andreas?
The Corojo, because honestly,
yeah,
I'm not a big fan of San Andreas that comes out of Papine's factory. I don't know if it, I don't know why, but.
Didn't you pick like, the Tuxla?
The only one that really did.
Cigar of the Year, number 10.
Huh?
The Tuxla, that's.
No. Well, it was the Fort Tendler one, yeah. That was the, I was going to say that's the only one I really liked. That, and the Kruger was good. The Face is good, you know, but there's not, I'm just saying there's not a ton, you know. So I'm really curious, but I'm excited for that. Nate says he likes the Corojo a lot. So I'm really excited to try both of them. But not only is it new blends, new factory and all that jazz, but the bands are a lot different. I miss the old bands. The old bands are pretty legit. It's more like Menelik looking now. But I'm not completely surprised, because it seems like they've been really moving away from Aganorsa. I feel like, I wonder like how much of it was Terrence is fucking killing it with Aganorsa. And then maybe there's just not enough, you know, maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the problem is, but I know, like, I got these, when Nick did the Wise Man L1C for JR Cigar for their 50th, that cigar was honestly probably one of the worst boxes of cigars that I ever bought in my life. And I told them that. I told them I couldn't keep those cigars lit to save my life. And I was smoking inside my car. And I let them rest for 6 months. I still couldn't keep it lit. And it was not the... He switched the binders on it, I think, too. But it just... that those cigars weren't the same when they first came out. They were different. So... But like everything's been AJ. So I'm not surprised by it. Like even the Menelik, man. One of the top five best cigars I've ever smoked my whole entire life was that Menelik Unbanded 5-pack event only pack that came out. And I talked to Nick, and Nick's like, yeah, those were so good because they had a year of age on them. So I've sat a box of Menelik for 1 year, and it never got to where, didn't even get close to where that event only pack went. So I don't know. And I haven't really smoked a ton of Aganorsa because of, so I've had performance issues since COVID. I hate to say that, you know, but it's just, that's just what it, I mean, I think you ask a lot of people, you know, so I don't know. Hey, so, and it's weird too, like Rainier opened up his own factory.
Tyler, your performance issues ended at the hospital. You're good. Mm-hmm. No, I was going to ask you, when you said you told them that the JR 50th exclusive, you couldn't stay lit, couldn't keep lit, who'd you tell?
I might have told both of them.
Okay.
I know for sure I told Nate.
I don't think, I mean, I'm not even working at the shop right now, but I can't think of a time when I've had a bad experience. I would, because I would have to have multiple bad experiences before I think I would want to reach out to somebody, let them know. But I've never done that.
Oh, well, I mean, they're friends of mine, so it's different. Like, I wouldn't, like, yeah, if it happens, right. I just.
That's what I'm saying. You're not complaining. You're saying, hey, maybe look into this. There's something up.
Yeah, it was weird. And this was 2021 when that came out. So it was still early COVID kind of stuff. So it was before, like, so. But I actually just smoked the Wise Man Maduro 2 weeks ago at the shop, and it was fucking amazing. But I don't know what age, you know, what.
I got a question, actually, thinking about that.
Uh-oh.
So the Wise Man Maduro, I feel like that's the cigar that Joe Rogan really likes, right?
Well, he has his own cigar made for him.
And so I would imagine that JRE cigar was made in the spirit of the Wise Man Maduro, if that's the one he likes. Is that not right?
Well, made by AJ.
Okay, so AJ's making that. That's what I was wondering, is if that's still going to be made if he's leaving Aganorsa, if it was made there.
No, I think the JRE is close to the Tabernacle, kind of like the, or maybe I'm mixing up. I know the Owl Shop is based on Tabernacle.
I thought Nick said his original blend for the Tabernacle became the JRE because he couldn't mass produce it for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I have some of those. Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
You have some of those.
That sounds right. You have a better member. Yeah, I have two Joe Rogans, and I have First Run Tabernacles too, and First Run Tabernacles H99 or whatever.
What's the story on that Paul Bunyan one?
But I gave you one of those, right, Brent?
Yeah. But it was for a
record executive, Eminem or something like. It's like a record, and the guy in the music industry, I believe.
Eminem's producer.
I thought so, yeah. It was had to do with something with some guy, I think, in Michigan, and he's in the music industry. But that's a dope. He should make that. That's a dope-looking band. But I don't know where. It doesn't fit into the whole, you know, he's really going, you know, so. But that Owl Shop cigar is really fucking good. It's a really fatty. It's like a 56 ring gauge. It's really good though, a little pigtail. I like it a lot. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you guys about the new Sokka Lancero sampler pack?
Boo. Damn. Lanceros suck.
I wasn't interested in it until I read the copy that he put on the inside of the box today. And I'm like, that's just good salesmanship. Now I have to buy one. I already knew that I was going to buy one for Kelly because she just worships Steve. But
yeah.
I kind of want one now too, just because when you're very honest at the end of it, we're like, this is just a money grab, and this Candela that's in here is a terrible cigar, but you geeks want it, so here it is. I think that's hilarious. So I respect it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I wonder how much it's going to cost, you know, because if they're
it was part... 160 or like 159.50, I think, is what they announced today.
That's MSRP.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on board for that.
Yeah.
I had a debate, man, and they told me I'm not a real smoker. I was at Metro Cigars in Brookfield. Yeah, and one of the guys there, he's the manager there, and then the rep for Crux. I told him I don't like Lanceros. You know, I'm like, I'd rather smoke a Gordo than a Lancero. And they're like, oh, you don't know how to smoke. You know Lanceros are the best. And they started giving me all the stuff that they hear people regurgitate. Only the best rollers do it. It's the best expression of the tobacco because you're getting all the wrapper. I'm like, guys, it's just the three of us here. You can say it. Well, you know, Lanceros is not it's not a great experience of smoking it. You got to smoke it really slow. Half the time, they don't fucking stay lit. And half the time, the draw is bad. I want to tell the guys, I'm like, dude, we've been smoking a long time. We're past the whole trying to impress people by saying we smoke Lanceros. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's like fly fishing.
All that being said,
this
Patina Lancero is actually really fucking good. So,
yeah, I haven't tried. I don't know if I tried that one in Nicaragua or not, but. I love the packaging of it. I love that. I always wonder what Mo was gonna do, you know, because you have like the Patina, Maduro, Sumatra, Connecticut, Habano. You have like that line. I was always curious to see like what can you do like outside of that, you know. I mean, it's weird too. Like it's like it's another. What is that wrapper? Is that Sumatra or Habano? Habano?
It's supposed to be Nicaraguan.
Right?
Okay. Escuro is the color of the wrapper. It's not a tobacco down.
I said Habano Escuro.
Okay. Specific. I wasn't sure. Okay. So yeah, it's Habano. So like
check up, playa.
I was going to say about Habano.
Habano.
I forgot what it was. I was going to say, like, it's like. I don't know. Never mind. It was. I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, dude. I can't wait to try the other sizes. I'll probably smoke a Lancero. But I love the presentation of it. Yeah, I like it a lot. And, I was talking to Mo about it, and he didn't have a ton of samples, so hopefully I can get one from him. I can go on small batch, but speaking of the trade show, man, that's coming up pretty quick.
Yeah, are you excited?
Yeah, I mean, is it next week already?
Yeah, like the 22nd through the 25th, yeah. We got like a week and a half.
Las Vegas trade show?
Yeah. Last one in Vegas. Yeah, I'm fucking stoked, man. But it's weird because, like, I head off to the Milwaukee, and then I'm in San Antonio for a funeral, and then fucking Vegas, and then I wanted to go back to Milwaukee in April. I really want to sell that house and move my mom down to Texas. But I got a lot of work to do with the house. I threw away like 20 bags of garbage. Well, not garbage, but like junk, like clutter, you know. Well, like, I had all my cigar shit, like cigar boxes, cigar, all this stuff. And I'm like, I can't keep this. This is stupid. So, yeah, I'm curious about the trade show. I'm really curious to see how much new stuff comes out and when the stuff is shipping. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting show.
I was trying
What's
to
interesting
find...
right now is it seems like everybody has started running their trade show deals like this week to try to get people to spend money ahead of the show.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are y'all worried about? Because it almost feels like the vibe from the manufacturers is that they like don't feel like it's going to be a good show. And I am interested with like Drew Estate and Altidus in general all being back. I guess Davidoff's the only one that's not going to be back. If that like takes away from some of the like energy and money that was being spent with like the smaller companies. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why Mo releases his cigar right before the trade show, you know, because he said it on podcast. I've heard him say, you know, it's like, you know, he's a day three or four cigar brand people go to, you know, they want it. It's Tatuaje, you know, it's, you know, my father, Fuente. True Estate, you know, get all the Fuente, yeah, Padron. So he rather just get the business out and then and meet with potential new clients and, you know, and, but what I've been hearing too is but Hoop had mentioned on one of his podcasts that like when he was in the DR, everybody was talking about all the manufacturers were talking about how loaded the shops are with cigars. Yeah, I mean, there's still a crazy level of inventory at shops. And, Habana House has so many cigars. So many cigars.
The other thing about, like, the new releases this year is you kind of have a shortened release cycle because of the trade show date switch. And a lot of the stuff from PCA last year that got announced didn't ship till end of year last year, or some of it even like last month with that new tat. And so it's like, have they had time to like fully bake something new, or is it like threw a band on it to figure out the blend later and just hope to have it out by the end of the year? I don't know.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of band problems, not a lot of, I think they're not having problems making the cigars. Now it's like, it's still the bands and packaging. So like, I know Pete was saying on Coop that he's going to have stuff without bands on it, probably at the trade show, which, you know, band adds at least 15% of the flavor of the cigar. So, yeah. Well, I'm curious to see the vibe. I hope it's a big show. Yeah.
I saw a foundation post at their booth 7008, and I went to look up who booth number 6969 was, but I couldn't find it. I don't think the information's on PCA.com yet. Hoping it's Fratello.
Fratello's coming out with the Pocahontas.
And another Connecticut.
It's a game changer.
Oh, the Harley Quinn Connecticut?
Two Connecticuts now.
And three if you count the bundle one.
And they were called out by that Swedish pretentious group that said, "You're doing illegal things. Stop selling to Sweden."
What do you mean he's doing illegal things? I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was posted a while back. It was a Swedish group, and they were contacting all these companies and saying, like, cease and desist, because you can't, like, the advertisement is different in Sweden with tobacco laws and whatnot. So they're saying, you're breaking the law, stop it. And Fratello was one of the few called out.
I remember during COVID, Omar wanted us to do an event with him where we stream him onto an iPad, and then we give the iPad to every customer, and he talks to them about his cigars. We passed on that event.
That would have made you a lot of money. You probably should have done that one.
Yeah, that's actually great. I was fired from Lake Country, and that's why I moved down to Austin. Because I did not do the viral. Like, he said that he's going to send, like, an astronaut suit, uh-huh. And then in the helmet would be the iPad.
Oh, that's cool.
So you still get a sense of how tall he is.
No, actually, no. Yeah, that would be a good idea. That's a $1 million idea, Omar.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sweden, Andre finally got some Romacraft cigars. He never had them before, I don't think. So that's cool.
He told me he had one at Inner Tobacco, one of the intemperance that Jamie gave him. But yeah, it was funny. He was, I was saying on Instagram that the Intemperance BA is the best Brazilian Al Paraca cigar in the market. And he said, no, it's not. And I'm like, okay, well, name me one. He couldn't. It took him a while. Like, he named one. I'm like, that's Modafina. I'm like, that's not our Paraca. And then, I love you, Andre, by the way. And then he's like, oh, the CAO MX2 plus. I'm like, I'm taking the Intemperance BA over anything CAO. Right now.
All right, one more question.
Are you okay? Are you guys? All right, go on. Yeah.
All right. How do you feel? I'm gonna be vague about this, I guess. But if a shop owner travels to another city in a different state, and they enforce a shop rule that they have on him, that they apply to everybody, say that they kick everybody out at 7 unless you're a member, and they close at 8 mm-hmm. or something like that. Is it worse to like have that done to you, or to try to publicly drag that other business on social media for enforcing a rule that they have universally and not knowing how important you are in the industry?
Here's the thing. The post was deleted, so I didn't really get to... I don't know. Here's the thing. I wish I could read the comments so I could form an opinion based on what people are saying and give me, like, I could think about it. Don, what do you think?
I'll let you go first. I read the comments before it disappeared, and there was one that said, let the social media do the speaking for you, or something like that. So it was very positive, like, get the word out there.
Yeah.
Make a movement.
It was just kind of funny to me because the one that he was saying was the better retailer that he would prefer closed at 6. And so that's why he ended up at this place. And it's like, well, they closed at 6. That's not very convenient. I don't know. Like, I would just expect that if I knew our shop owner was going to another city and needed to find a place to have a cigar, that I would call the staff and say, hey, the owner of us is coming there. How late are y'all open? And can you make sure that he's taken care of? Right. Like, I would give them a heads up and a warning, and then that would be fine. Or like, that owner could reach out to the other owner and be like, hey, I'm coming here. Can you let your guys know that I'm coming?
Yeah.
I know y'all have this rule, but if you could make an exception for me, my family just dropped me off, whatever. That's different than like just publicly dragging them for a rule that they have, which honestly, that's not a bad rule, because people shouldn't light up a cigar expecting to be able to smoke it for 2 hours if you've only got 30 minutes left. Like, we don't have that rule ourselves, but we let people know, like, hey, we're closed in an hour. Make sure you know, grab something you can.
Yeah. Like, we'll still sell you the cigar, but it's,
yeah.
You know, it's like I know a lot. I see a lot of shops that like, we're closing for a private event, but you can grab and go, is still open.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I mean, like, if I own a shop, a very successful shop, and they say you got to be a member, and I'm in Oklahoma or wherever, I'm in this state where the shop is, I'm going to buy, how much is your membership? $200? I'll buy the membership. Let me in.
Yeah.
No, if I'm a cigar shop owner, Dom.
Okay. Got the money. Got the bankroll. I don't, I mean, if you're a cigar shop owner, just, I guess it depends on the rules of the county if you can just go smoking for a walk.
Yeah.
Just spending $200 bucks just to get one cigar in? No, Brent.
That being said, this particular retailer has a 24-hour lounge and honestly gives exceptional customer service. And if you go down there and mention that, like, you work for this person or whatever, he'll bring you into the private lounge and treat you like a king. Like, it's, he gives great service to people. So, like, I get that maybe they weren't giving him the level of service that he would give somebody else from out of town. And so that was, like, not a great experience. But did they not know who he was? But that's what I'm saying. Like, how would some guy making $15 an hour or whatever, working behind the counter, know who the hell he was? Like, I don't know.
I've been thinking about a lot of stuff about, like, the cigar shop thing, like cigar shops. And it's like, I'm like, man, the amount of, it was funny because I was talking to Jim. I'm like, well, what's the starting pay? And then he told me, and he's like, so this might be your first and your last shift. I'm like, you know, cause he told me a range of where it was going to be. And then he told, I'm like, wow, I like the high end of it. I thought it was going to be the minimum, but whatever. But my thing is like, there are so many ways you can fuck up a humidor, or you can lose money. And that was being told. Jim was telling me that, like, one guy rang up a DuPont that was $1,800. He rang it up for $250.
Oh.
Or like another time, another guy sold another DuPont lighter, and he looked it up online, and it was a different one. But he's like, oh, that's the price. And sold it too for, you know, $500, $700 or whatever. Same thing with like box counts. Like somebody could come out with a box of drones, and you could accidentally ring it up as something else or get the box count wrong. I was at Yuli's, one of the oldest cigar shops in the whole fucking United States, and I was going through their empty boxes because I found a really cool Fuente one, and it was like it was the Fuente the Man or something. And I lift the tray up, and there's 10 cigars underneath them. Those cigars were $30 a pop. They had them in the free box section. 10 cigars underneath the lid. Underneath the, there's like a little thing you lift up. I'm like, dude, that's $300. I mean, that's like, you can, there's a lot of mistake. You know, like, cigar shop workers should be making a lot more than they should. And that's why I think the level of service has been down too, because, like, a lot of the hobbyist guys, like, who love cigars, they love it, but you can't love it when you're making, it's hard to love it when you're making $12 an hour. And then, not only that, it's one of those rare instances where you, it's like working at a Porsche dealership, and they pay you $15 an hour, and you're driving, you know, a Kia. You know, same thing with cigars. So it's like, if I'm a cigar rep, hey, take care of the boys behind the counter, because they're making $12 an hour. And all these new cigars are $15 plus, you know. So it's like, what do you think, Dom? Am I wrong?
I got to dip soon, but I
got to dip too.
I agree, but I think that's where, you know, your brokers and whatever, they take care of the employees because they have the ability to, like, here is a sample. I mean, people working in a cigar lounge aren't working to pay for a full family usually, right?
No, but
you're making a minimum
wage. That's why you go to a lot of shops. Well, not necessarily. Like, I went to Cigar International in San Antonio, and I asked him a question about Roma Craft. He's like, I've never heard of that brand. I'm like, you have a whole section of them right here.
Like, okay. Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
Just Cigar, like, International.
That the owner of the cigar lounge that I visited in Hawaii had never heard of Roma Craft also. What I want to say, to Brandon's point, right. You already said it, but there's people that come in all the time, like 10 minutes before closing. And I'll say, you know, if you guys want to grab it to go, that's fine. But just let you know, we close in like 10 minutes. And they'll say, oh, no, no, I can smoke this in 10 minutes. And it'll be like a Toro.
Oh.
It's just like, what are you doing? Come on. So that always sucks.
I get a lot of, real quick, I get a lot of, do you, yeah, no, I get a lot of, what time are you closing tonight? And I'm like, 8:30. They're like, oh, closing early tonight? I'm like, no, that's the posted hours. Like, I have to go to work tomorrow. I got to be up at 5 a.m. Like, I'm not staying, you know, like, and then, like, I had all the guys were surprised when I had them all out by 8:45 or whatever. I'm like, yeah, but we closed at 8:30. I gave them extra 15 minutes. They're like, I've never seen them all leave like that. I'm like, well, I'm not, like, we're closed. What do you want, like, what do you want to do, you know? And they're always trying to bribe me to stay open.
Yeah.
You know.
All right.
But
we got right, a podcast. Guys, gotta go. This is great.
Yeah. Thanks, Brandon, for short notice. Oh, go on.
Oh, real quick. Dom, how's that baby before we go?
Baby's great.
Hell yeah.
Schedule, though, I don't know how you're working your schedule, but I was on a weekend, and I had planned to light up at 3, and I didn't get to smoke until 8. Because just one thing after another, he wouldn't sleep, and then he had to be fed. But he's doing great, getting more sleep at night, getting fat little cheeks. How's your baby?
He's very fat.
Nice.
Yeah. He's took him to the pediatrician. He's in the 100th percentile for head size.
Whoa. So
he's got a big head. He's like literally off the charts that they make.
Put a cowboy hat on that baby.
And he's wearing 6 month old clothes at 2 months old today. So
damn.
Wow. Ahead of his class.
Big fat boy.
Do you think his head will be bigger or smaller than Tyler's head?
Oh, I hope it's... I just hope it's juicy like Tyler's.
Okay.
I guess it's already pretty juicy. He slobbers a lot.
Yeah.
Me or the baby?
Flip a coin.
Good point. Over my 6x60s.
All right. Good talking, guys. Rock and roll.
Love you guys.
Keep those cigars.
Yeah!